Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris is rallying support among Democrats after Joe Biden dropped out of the presidential race. Mr. Biden said it was in the best interests of his party and the country not to run. He'd face weeks of pressure to step aside after a disastrous performance in a TV debate with Donald Trump last month.
And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban. The total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
A murder investigation started after a 15-year-old boy was shot dead in a park in the Ladbroke Grove area of West London. Six male suspects have been arrested. The cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike says a significant number of 8.5 million computers affected by last Friday's global IT outage are now back online. The problems brought chaos to transport networks and health services. And that's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Stephen Davis.
Imagine a place where you can escape for a day. Get immersed in a world of rooms, inspiration and expertise. Where you can laze in luxury accommodation. And kids can feast from 95 pence. Tickets are free to everyone and include all the attractions. You've just imagined a day out at IKEA. IKEA, the wonderful everyday.
Coming up, metaphorically speaking.
I hope you've got your ID because it's time to vote for me. The options are me, me, and me. Then if you fail to vote, then you get nothing. As in, we cut off the broadcast to your home and all your devices. This is how our votes work. Actually, no, here's what you can do. You can vote for me or Steve Quirk. So that means you vote for me. That's Colourful Drive. Every weekday from 4 till 7 with myself, the Mixmaster Mac. Make sure you vote for me, by the way. Every weekday, make sure. On Colourful Radio. Oh, yeah, make sure you bring your ID.
Hey, yo. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio. Colorful.
Delia. Delore. Colorful Radio. Hello and welcome to Metaphorically Speaking with Delia Delore. This show dissects famous mottos, mantras and metaphors, tracing their origins and how they translate to everyday life. We have chosen a guest who resonates with their chosen expression, and we do this each week. Today's guest is Mervyn Ware, an award-winning writer and filmmaker, renowned for blending his love of poetry, performance, and visual arts to create transformative works. Let's see if you can guess the metaphor he has chosen to discuss. You know, sometimes in life, you know you want to do something, and you know you can do it quite well. But in order to do it to the best of your ability, sometimes you just have to apply yourself a little bit more. You have to just do that little bit more in order to be seen, in order to be heard. Has any metaphor come to mind? Well, this week's metaphor is going the extra mile. When you hear the metaphor going the extra mile, what comes to your mind? Perhaps push yourself to continue when you're about to give up. Today we will discuss examples of people not giving up, and in the end, as a result, they achieve something. It can be a race that you win if you're a runner, a sale if you work in the sales industry, a body transformation, or even something deeper such as enlightenment. This episode's scriptwriter, Elena Valentinova, shared a story relating to going the extra mile. She said recently she was exhausted, stressed, and overdramatic. As a woman, she admits, well, she says she's emotional, and what helps her in moments like this is she has a sweet treat. And she's not talking about emotional eating because she knows it's a different and serious topic, but she's referring to a simple, fast, feel-good treat for the brain, you know? Well, she was working from home and craved something sweet, but she didn't have her phone or wallet because she had left them in her car, which was with her boyfriend. So she started imagining that she was eating something sweet. And an hour or so went by, and the doorbell rang. It was her neighbor, who had brought her a sweet pastry, and it had a chocolate on the top. She said it looked like a little hedgehog. And the neighbor said that she kind of felt that she needed to bring her a pastry. So she accepted the pastry with a big smile, and she started eating it straight away. She didn't even wait to sit down and relax with it. Unfortunately, inside there was no chocolate. It was a delicious flour-based pastry with some small chocolate on the top. But it didn't really taste sweet enough, so she just left it. A couple of hours later, her boyfriend returned from work, and she was still kind of suffering with work stuff, so she decided to go to the shop and buy herself some chocolate. Her boyfriend asked about the neighbor's pastry and why she didn't eat it when she wanted something sweet. And she explained that it didn't taste sweet, which is what she craved. And she left the room to put on her shoes. A minute or two afterwards, she heard him laughing. It turns out that the chocolate was inside the pastry. So she started laughing as well. She couldn't stop thinking about how this was a great example of her life currently. She's been really close to achieving what she wants, and then her brain tells her how hard or pointless it is and convinces her to give up. If she had been patient, went the extra mile to finish the pastry, she would have seen that the chocolate was there all along. Sometimes things are staring you in the face, but because she was so focused on getting something sweet, she became impatient and lost focus. She says, being a female writer and film director from Bulgaria, at the beginning of her career, sometimes she needed to work 5 different jobs to continue working towards her dreams. A month ago, she was rejected for a script that she'd been working on for almost 2 years. Her producer kept assuring her that they'd get the funding, but they didn't. She thought that the story was not good enough, but a small voice inside her told her not to give up. A couple of days later, she accepted a voluntary position as an assistant director. It was very hard for her to accept this decision because she knew at that time she couldn't afford to spend money and work for free. But somehow, she made it. And while on that job, she met a woman who read her script and she loved it. And now she is funding it. On this project, Alina had extended herself and she ensured that she kept her eye on the prize. She didn't give up what she loved doing, despite her feeling disappointed that her script had been rejected. Maybe she should have remembered this process during her chocolate pastry experience, and she would have just taken one more bite to sweetness. Let's dig deeper into the metaphor going the extra mile. Maybe we have things in common. Maybe we can train our minds to be responsible for our behavior. Many of us give up before we really get started. Let's examine some examples from people from different industries who explain why going the extra mile is so helpful, not only for achieving something, but also for self-esteem and feel-good moments. If you're a runner, you know, when you want to give up and everything hurts you, you need to push yourself a bit longer, just one extra mile. Eventually, the pain will go away and become pleasure. Now, let's hear the words of an amazing woman, Kira D'Amato. She's an athlete and record-breaking marathoner, and she explains what going the extra mile means to her.
Absolutely. And I think I was going into a zone where no American woman had gone before. So I think just mentally that struggle. And marathons are so funny to me because at the beginning, like, you're super positive. You're like, you know, I got this. Like, and you're doing all those positive mantras, like, don't stop believing, like, keep it going. You got this. And then somewhere where everything begins to hurt, like, your mind tries to convince your whole body to slow down. And I feel like I've given into that voice before in marathons, and you finish and you're like, oh, but what if I would have, like, pushed through that? What if that wasn't my limit. What if I figured out a way just to tell that voice to like sit down and be quiet? And so when that started coming up, you kind of just, like you said, just you start negotiating and you figure out anything you say can say to yourself to like keep you going forward. So, I mean, originally for me, like I was just focusing water stop to water stop. They're about 3 miles apart. So that's how I was kind of just breaking down the race, just get to the next water stop at this pace. But then like you start getting into like a kind of dark place that you're like, why am I doing this? Like this really, really hurts. Like I volunteered. Like I was excited about this race. What is wrong with me? And then I got into a point where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to set the American record, whether it's today or another race, I'm going to do it. But if it's not today, I'm going to have to go and put in months and months and months of more training. I'm going to have to get up early. I'm going to have to do exactly what I did to get here. And then I'm going to have to be back at the spot and figure out how to work through it. And that seems like more work than just working through it right now. So I'm just going to work through it. I'm going to finish. I'm going to get that record. And then I don't ever have to run again if I don't want to. So that was kind of the deal I made with myself, which is kind of crazy. And then you finish and you're like, that was awesome. I want to do that again. But I don't know. You get into a weird place. You just got to come prepared to tell your mind whatever it takes to keep moving forward.
Another way to look at this is to tell your mind to do whatever it takes to keep moving forward. But what also is important to remember is that nothing happens for a day. You're not winning a marathon with only 1 month of training. You're not becoming successful in your career by going only one extra mile. Now let's hear another great example of this metaphor, going the extra mile.
I mean, I was just a seventh grader. And I said, Dad, I want to be a pilot. And I did it. My number one job as a pilot is safety. Get you to your destination safely. But I always wondered, what can I do extra for my customer? What can I do for my customers and coach? You know, they're just as important as people in first class. So I start writing notes to customers in middle seats. Have you ever done that elbow war, trying to get the armrest? It's not fun. So when the flight attendant comes by and goes, Mr. Rawlings, I got a note for you from the captain. His seat, two seatmates on the other side of him want to know who he is, that he got a note from the captain. So the way they find out, so they have to be nice. So one leans to the left, the other one leans to the right, and now they both have the armrest and they're talking. I just made his seat bigger emotionally and physically. So you have to use some little things like this, because a lot of people, they're nervous flyers. If they relieve the tension, they'll enjoy it more because they know I'm in control and I care about them. Going down the runway, I still get goosebumps and hair stands up my arm every time I push those throttles up. I look at my co-pilots, I say, let's go flying. Find the job that you love. Doesn't matter what the payoff's going to be on it, because you have to work the rest of your life. Find something that you want to do and go after it.
That was pilot Denny Flanagan. Going the extra mile doesn't always mean you'll succeed and reach your goal. Sometimes, as we heard the pilot Denny Flanagan say, writing little notes and making the people around you feel better works too. Before we introduce our guest today, let's repeat the words of Denny. Find the job that you love and go after it. It's true. If you like what you're doing, you will often go that extra mile and you'll feel better. In today's episode, we welcome writer and filmmaker Mervyn Weir. He's renowned for blending his love of poetry, performance, and visual arts to create transformative works. Previous work from Weir has been described as powerful, thought-provoking, and stimulating. His most recent production, Jamaica Love, is a new stage production that brings together singers, musicians, and actors to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the Windrush, the ship that brought hundreds of West Indian citizens from the Caribbean to the UK. Mervyn, thank you so much for joining us on Metaphorically Speaking. It's always a pleasure, especially for me, when I introduce and welcome someone from the creative industry, because I think the creative industries, they work so hard and people underestimate how much work goes into it, because when they see the finished product, it's polished. So they think, oh, that is easy. So thank you for being with us.
Amen to that.
So our metaphor is going the extra mile. It's one that you chose. Why?
I think it's, in a few short words, it's one of the most powerful sayings that there is if you deconstruct what it really means. We kind of really associate it with the service industry. You know, they use it as a mantra, going the extra mile. And it's like, if you're an employer and you can get all your employees to go the extra mile, it's almost like an assurance of doing great business. But I think when you apply it to everyday life, to me, it's the heart of kindness. And people understand that, you know, people understand, if you're kind to someone, people understand that. And that can change your day or your life like nothing else. Someone going the extra mile for you. So for me, it's really, really powerful if we actually live it.
Here's a question that might make you think. Can you remember the decade that you heard the term first used?
Oh, I can't remember the decade, but because I grew up in church, I actually, I would have heard it first in church. But when I heard it there, I had no idea of its power, because I heard it just in a kind of religious context and didn't understand that it had power way beyond that.
What do you think it takes from someone to go the extra mile? Do you think that that person has to have certain virtues or certain qualities about them for them to go the extra mile?
Well, I learned it most viscerally from my own home, because my mother, who was a very ordinary woman, came from the Caribbean, you know, was in the caring industry, but she lived this at a very profound level. So before we had a washing machine at home, we used to go to the laundry, and it would be down the road. And my mum would typically do that on a Sunday morning. I'd get up late as a teenager, and I never knew who might be having breakfast with us, because she would have likely have seen someone who was sleeping there, you know, during the night or whatever, and she would bring them home and feed them, give them breakfast, and just make them feel welcome. And that's how she lived her life. Even when she did her paid work and went around caring for people in their homes, long after the contract is over, she's still visiting them, still bringing food parcels for them, still involving them in social life. So she just lived this going the extra mile. And, you know, you can't help but be impacted if you live with that kind of experience as part of your growing up.
I think that's what we call a double whammy in terms of going the extra mile when you're in the caring profession, because people, again, I think they underestimate what it is to be a carer. And it's only as you get older, perhaps, you may realize what it meant to be a carer. So I think carers are naturally going the extra mile. But it turns us back to the question I asked initially in terms of, do you think that there are any qualities or virtues that make someone go an extra mile? And from what you've said, your mom was naturally a caring person. So to go the extra mile, perhaps you could say you have to have the quality that you care not only for yourself, but also for others. Because when we think of going the extra mile, when it's actually said, perhaps, if I said to you, I like this person because they went the extra mile, then I'm saying that indirectly or directly, depending on how you look at it, that this person did more than what was expected of them. So when we say that someone is going the extra mile, it goes back to what I said initially about the virtues of that person. Our perception of them, is it of, oh, that's a caring person, or that person is conscious of how I'm thinking about them, or is that person, they just have the virtue to care for themselves, really, and because they care for themselves, they're going the extra mile. I know it might not be the way that other people are thinking about it, but it just made me think of that. Can we care so much for ourselves that we would naturally just go the extra mile?
I think there's all different kinds of motivation that might make people go the extra mile. If you put it within a work context, you might even have a scheme, you know, dreamt up by the employer that says, okay, for anyone who goes the extra mile for our customers, here are some incentives. So it doesn't always have to be someone's personal mantra, their personal disposition to do it. I think you could be selfishly motivated to go the extra mile in a work context because you can still see the benefit. I think outside of that, it always takes an element of sacrifice to go the extra mile, because to go the extra mile means that we must have a very clear perception of what the mile is. So in any situation, what would it cost me to go a mile? Because that's what's and if I go a mile, that's exactly what's expected of me. There's no bonus for a mile. So it's like you've got a very clear idea of what expectations are from people. Now, when you go the extra mile, then people's, it immediately gets attention. And when we receive it, whether it's, you know, suppose you go to a restaurant and, you know, they treat you well and they serve you well. Really, that's what's expected. You know, that's what they're paid to do. Mm-hmm. So they have to do something extraordinary above that for you to feel, wow, I have been really looked after in a way that makes me feel very special. And, in that instance, I might want to give a tip, or might want to recommend them or come back again or whatever. So I think whenever we do it, there's a real payoff in some way because of the benefit. But to me, the thing that really got me thinking, even though I learned it first in church, it was when I, as an adult, I kind of reread where that metaphor came from and began to understand the dynamics of it. And if you think about it, the context is Jesus is living under Roman rule. The Roman authority is in control of Israel, and they're kind of slaves in their own country. And they had a law for the Roman soldiers. It was called impressment, where they had the right to ask any Jewish citizen to carry their backpack, which was very heavy, a mile. And that was a legal requirement. And Jesus says to them, if anyone asks you to carry or to go with them a mile, go with them too. And you think about it, you know, it's like you're having your most wicked enemy tells you to do something that you don't want to do, but you don't have any choice. So you do it and you go the mile. As soon as you get to the mile, you put it down. Now you imagine saying, okay, I've taken it for a mile. Can I help you by going an extra mile? I think the most interesting thing that happens there is that the power dynamic changes. In the first mile, the Roman soldier is totally in charge. But in the second mile, the person who decides to go the extra mile assumes power because they're doing something that they don't have to do. And I imagine at the end of that mile, you know, in the first mile, there's no conversation. I don't want to talk to you because I'm doing something that I have to do. But in the second mile, I think all of a sudden, a conversation that never would have happened begins to happen. Because the Roman soldier's thinking, why have you done this? And so, you know, maybe starts asking some questions to understand the motivation. But at the end of that mile, two people who were sworn enemies, there might just be the beginning of some coming together. And can you imagine them both going to their homes at the end of the day? How was your day, honey? Well, you never guess what happened to me today. Mm. And that one act starts to, you know, multiply as people, you know, get into this conversation and share it with one another, and different possibilities of how we can live begin to emerge just from one act of kindness.
So tell us what you're working on now that perhaps is making you work that extra mile.
Well, at the moment, we're about to do our second year of Jamaica Love. This is a musical production that celebrates the history between Britain and the Caribbean. But the lens is Jamaica Love, because it's a musical and the music is substantially from Jamaica. And we know no other place has contributed on such a wide and, you know, deep and rich level as Jamaica to world music.
And what are you expecting your audience to get from it? It's one thing you producing it, because of course it's something that you believe in and something that you love doing, but what do you want the audience to get out of it?
Well, what I want them to get out of it is a number of things. One is to be educated, as it were, to the rich history. I mean, recently we've had the concept of the Windrush scandal, where we've looked at people of the Windrush generation, which have been badly treated by the British government. I'm sometimes being sent, you know, back to Jamaica, as if they, even though they've maybe lived here for 50 years. And of course, that whole thing came to a head with a legal inquiry as to what had happened. And people were meant to be compensated, and many haven't been. And many have, you know, have died even before the compensation arrived. Britain have all of a sudden become aware of something called the Windrush generation and the Windrush scandal. But when you see our production, you understand in a much deeper way the length of the relationship between Britain and Jamaica and the Caribbean. So when people think that the British people think of Windrush scandal, they're thinking, oh, these people came here in 1948 because of the Windrush. When you see our play, you understand that that relationship is much, much longer, from 1655, in fact. And so the context of the scandal and how you've treated people that you've exploited for many, many years, over centuries, and still doing it again in the 21st century, has a deeper impact. The other thing that comes through is the resilience of our people. And that's something that I want them to get, is the strength of the Caribbean family, and the islands, and how people have worked together and put up with all sorts of things, but come through with a great deal of grace and power and creativity nonetheless. So that's something that comes through. The biggest compliment I get as the writer director at the end of the show is so many people coming and saying thank you for telling our story and telling it in a way that they've never heard it before, you know, unapologetically. So we don't hide from the hard moments that we've been through, but there's many beautiful, strong moments to celebrate as well. So it's telling that kind of complete story. And perhaps there's another metaphor, perhaps, or it's at least a proverb. Until the lions have their own storytellers, tales of the hunt will always glorify the hunters. And what we like to say in this, it is the lions telling the story.
And why did you choose to use the music genre to tell the story?
Well, the combination of the music and the text is really powerful. And in this instance, I only chose songs really that, if you forget there were musicals, that they were actually in songs with music. The text of the songs are part of the script. They help to tell the story.
And can you give an example of one of those songs? Mm-hmm. Is it something that we'd be familiar with? Or is it traditional?
No, most of the songs are really well known. What's interesting is that even though the songs are well known, when they're put into the context of this play, people hear them in a new context, that and in a way that they've made... may have never heard of that song, never thought of that song in that way before, simply because there is an introduction to the song, and then there is something that happens afterwards, and when you see it in that context, it takes on a new meaning. So even Redemption Song, the way it comes into the play, it has a historical significance that you feel very much just because of what's happened before and what happens afterward. And all of the songs are like that, really.
That's amazing. As you were talking, I thought of one of our previous guests on Metaphorically Speaking. He's he's a songwriter, musician. His name is Taj Weeks. He's from St. Lucia. And his chosen metaphor was, reggae is a verb. And my scriptwriter said to me, that's not a metaphor. Reggae is a verb. I said, well, when you talk to him, you'll understand why he uses it as a metaphor. And he basically said he chose it that way because he uses his music as a verb. And the word itself, music, is a verb. And so he uses his music to tell stories.
Yeah.
His lyrics tell the story. So to him, music is a verb. And what you described fits his metaphor at me. I wanted to ensure that I send him this Metaphorically Speaking episode so he can hear what he has to say. And he's the type of person who would reach out and say, whoa, you know, he works in reggae. That's what he does. He also has several charities.
But yeah.
primary thing is he writes reggae music, so he'd be very interested to I'm sure hear about your play. And he sometimes goes to London, but he's mostly in the Caribbean. But I will say to him, if he goes into London at any time, to look out for that.
We'd love to see him. You know, if he's around, we'll definitely love to catch up with him and invite him to the show, for sure.
Yes, and I will actually send you a link to his program, so you'll see where he's coming from. And I think that the Caribbean, you know, roots, you can never tell. He may be in Jamaica when you're in Jamaica. And, you know, as, you know, musicians and artists and writers, you know, have, you know, something in common. Something may come out of that. So Mervyn, can you tell us where people can go to see your show and the date?
They can go to the Grove Theatre on the 27th of July, or the Beck Theatre, which is where we started the first show, on the 26th of October, and the next date is the 2nd of November at the Ashcroft Theatre.
Lovely. So where can they actually look for the information about your show? If they forget the dates, where can they go?
They can go to the website, which is jamaicalove.co.
Mervyn, thank you so much for being with us and for having a very colourful and creative look at going the extra mile.
Thank you.
Thank you for your insight, Mervyn. Let's continue to explore the metaphor, going the extra mile.
I think as entrepreneurs, we have opportunities every single day to go the extra mile in our business, also in our family life and our personal relationships. We always have the opportunity with every interaction that we have to do a little bit more, to add a little bit more value, to give the person just a little bit more time, energy, appreciation. It doesn't have to cost you anything. Maybe it does, but it doesn't have to make the person feel a little bit more valuable, a little bit more treasured, a little bit more happy. We have these opportunities every single day, and most of us don't take them. And that little extra bonus that you go through could make the difference between you landing the next big deal and you just having an okay business, especially when you do that on a consistent basis. So how I'm applying this to my book, one of the things, I'm starting to get into marketing mode now, one of the things that I'm thinking about is, you know, I need other authors, or I'd love to have their support to help me promote the book, get some exposure from it. I have an amazing audience, but I want other people with their audiences to talk about it too. So one of the things that I'm doing is starting a little bit earlier and helping market some of the books, ideas, thoughts that other authors already have. So I started one with Ryan Holiday, and a series recently came out. We did two versions of it from his book, Ego is the Enemy. And I made a video of me reading a section from Ego is the Enemy. And the initial deal was just to do a typography video, just to like show some of the words on the screen and have some a music track behind it and promote it out there. And I think it would be valuable for you guys, the audience, and I think Ryan would love it. He'd love that I put effort into it to try to help him. I think just making any kind of video would have been good for him and for other authors that were going to make this a series. That was the initial intent. And then I thought, you know what? I got to go a little bit more. We got to do the extra mile. I want to have something that is so good that Ryan doesn't just see it and thank me for it, but he wants to share it with his audience too. That he wants to tell people about it because it is so good. And so that made me go the extra mile. And I partnered up with two guys who make motivational videos. And I said, guys, I want to make an amazing video. I have a script. We had a guy who's part of Believe Nation, Bass Drop Beats, who created an audio track for us. And I want to make a motivational type feel of video. And these two guys both put their spin on it and released it. And I'm proud of both versions of it. And Ryan saw it and shared it. Would he have shared it if I didn't do the motivational video and just did a typography video? Maybe. Would he have still valued it and appreciated me even if I didn't go that extra mile? Probably. How much extra does that, me going that extra mile, what does that mean to him and our relationship? I don't know. You can't quantify it. But if you get used to going the extra mile for others and you do it consistently, I guarantee you that a lot of good things will come back to you. And it's not something that you can quantify tomorrow, but making people feel really good, adding a lot of value to somebody else's life, is guaranteed to come back to you, especially when you're doing it consistently over time. On top of the fact that it makes you feel good. Like going the extra mile to help somebody out should also make you feel good that you're adding that extra value and you're doing good in the world. And so it was an easy decision for the book. And I encourage you to find a way today, tomorrow, every day, to add just a little bit extra value, go the little bit extra mile to help somebody else out in your business or in your relationships.
This could be a great way to live our lives. But as Ivan said, doing it consistently over time will be the right strategy to live a better life. Now let's examine what going the extra mile will bring into your life with one of the greatest teachers of financial freedom and success for the last 100 years, Napoleon Hill.
Now I shall tell you some of the benefits you will enjoy by following the habit of going the extra mile. One, this habit will bring you to the favorable attention of those who can and will provide you with opportunities to promote yourself into a better circumstance. Two, it will place back of you that great natural law of increasing returns through which the service you render will bring back greater than average compensations. And three, following this habit will make you indispensable in your chosen occupation or calling. Therefore, it will place you in a position to write your own ticket. And four, this habit will help you to excel in your line of work, because each time you render service, you endeavor to do a better job than you did previously. And five, if you work for a salary or wages, this habit will give you preference when work is slack and others are laid off. And six, it will help you to benefit by the law of contrast, because the others around you will not be going the first mile, let alone the second mile. And seven, following this habit of doing your very best in all of your efforts and doing it in a pleasing mental attitude will improve your personality and make you liked by others. And eight, it will also help you to develop a keen, alert imagination, because you will be continuously seeking new and better ways of rendering useful service. Nine, it will inspire you to move on your own personal initiative instead of waiting to be told what to do, a habit which is the first step in leadership in all callings. The habit of going the extra mile definitely develops greater self-reliance and gives one more courage to move ahead without the fear of criticism from others. And here is one thing it does, which, if it benefited you in no other way, would justify you in adopting it. It helps you to master the destructive habit of procrastination, the one habit which heads the list of causes of failure. 12. Going the extra mile influences other people to respect your integrity and inspires them to go out of their way to cooperate with you in a friendly spirit. And 13, the habit helps you to develop definiteness of purpose, which is the starting point of all personal success. And it stops you from drifting through life without knowing what you want or where you are going. And number 14, and here is the grand payoff which this habit gives you. It provides you with the one and only excuse for asking for a promotion to a better station in life or a higher pay. Obviously, if you are doing no more than you are being paid for, then you are receiving pay for all to which you are entitled. And you have not a single excuse for asking for more pay or a better position. You understand this point and appreciate its significance, do you not? 15. Last but not least, the habit of going the extra mile conditions your mind to maintain a mastermind alliance with others.
It's fascinating. 15 benefits from one single principle, or we can call it now habit. So the metaphor that we're examining today in Metaphorically Speaking, going the extra mile, is a principle for life. So we hope that at least one of our listeners today will try to develop that habit into their life and maybe even share with us what it brought to their life afterwards. There are so many beautiful examples of people going the extra mile for someone or a group of people. Now we want to share an extraordinary example that serves as a motivation that not even age can stop you from being a better person.
Let me read you a headline from an article I recently came across. 98-year-old woman regains driver's license to help friends. Did that catch your attention? I know it caught mine. As soon as I read it, I wanted to know more. Her name is Evelyn, and she lives in a really great retirement community. Each week, a bus would drive her and her friends to the grocery store where they could shop for food and enjoy a nice lunch out. The whole community cherished this opportunity to socialize and share life together. But all that came to a stop when their bus broke down and could not be repaired. As a result, the members were forced to rely on their families to bring them groceries. But for one of Evelyn's friends, that strain proved too great. If there wasn't an alternative, Evelyn's friend would have to move to another home, and their little community would be shattered. Well, that was all Evelyn needed to hear. She had a perfect driving record, never even had a ticket in her life. So she went to the DMV, passed her tests, and got her license back. And because of her effort, the community was able to stay together and continue sharing life with one another. Isn't that a great story?
The old lady did what she could with her resources. It is very important to remember to be kind to ourselves. If we don't have the resources today, it's okay. Everyone is different and everyone should accept their pathway. For example, someone who is running for 1 year will achieve a different result from someone who started yesterday, and both of them may push the extra mile, but still they will get different results. Our resources are not the same and we should remain kind. Going the extra mile can be something very small today, as something like standing up on your feet and going out to smile at a stranger. It's a habit, a way of thinking. It's a concept that can bring positive things to our lives as long as we don't use it to criticize ourselves and cause ourselves anxiety. Let's finish this week's episode with the same audio clip that we started the show with, Kira D'Amato, the athlete and record-breaking marathoner, because her life lesson is something we should remind ourselves daily. Kira's story is such a bundle of joy and motivation, because what we need to remember is that no matter the goal, the journey is what matters. Each one of us has our own journey on this earth, and sometimes we need to remember to feel pleasure from everything that we're experiencing. Setting goals, doing what it takes, and taking that extra step to achieve them. But if we don't manage to achieve it all, we must still feel good about ourselves and life. We must appreciate that we can see the sunrise and the sunset, to love our families and ourselves, and go for the next mile on the next day. Going the extra mile is a very meaningful metaphor. It might sound simple, but it can describe what we need to understand to make our lives easier. Today we shared with you some good examples of this metaphor in action and what it can bring to your life if you develop it and start doing it on a daily basis. Thanks for listening to this episode of Metaphorically Speaking. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe learned something new. Thanks so much again to our guest, Mervyn Ware, for sharing his thoughts with us today. We wish him the best with his production, Jamaica Love. We'd love you to share the show with your friends, and please feel free to leave a review on colorful.com, on our podcast, Metaphorically Speaking, which is on Apple, Spotify, and all major streaming platforms. If you'd like to suggest a metaphor for an upcoming show, you can reach us at info@metaphorically-speaking.uk.
This is Colorful Radio.
Put quality time in. He's not around, that's the time that I'm in. Can't get mad, man, I'm here on assignment. Missionary, you're scary, blinding. What make nigga like you think? She ain't on the next thing, smoking if you blink. Drunk off that drink, I just pulled up a mink. Bent over with a face in the bathroom sink. I'm so unapologetic, your tactics are so pathetic. You sure fall, bro, you don't get it. Do dirt, then jump in the hole you dug. There's a reason that your girl gave me your love. Still on that gangsta, keep a 4-5 on me, one man army, try harm me, I burn your skin before you drown, niggas need to learn to swim. You got rats all around you, so cops are call. This is washed up like floors in the mall. I move like Usher, niggas, she ain't got a call. On a dark block with a mouth full of b****s. It's all love with you, it's an argument. I listen when she speaks, you knew she was a freak. Play hard to get till I caught her in the club. But the girl really couldn't wait to give me your love. On vacation, I'm on FaceTime. Soon as she gets back, man, her face is mine. When we see each other, she says it's about time. We hug, we kiss, and the drawers are mine. Goes down on her knees, and the drawers are mine. My phone's on silent, paying you no mind. Backing that thing up, I'm on my grind. Kirk Franklin in every line, no lies. Goes down, then it's bound to rise. So heartless, if he dies, he dies. She'll never be what she was. So go cry in the car, cause she gave me your love.
Understand what I'm saying?
I wanna let you know that you don't have to go. Don't wonder no more what I think about you. If it's something that you want, you should make me your girl, your girl. If it's something that you need, then baby, come and share my world, share my world. If it's something that you want, come and take a walk with me, with me. Come hold you down, be that one to share your everything when no one's around. Baby, come tell me your secrets and tell me all your dreams. Cause I can see you need someone to trust. You can trust in me. So just call me whenever you're lonely. I'll be your friend, I could be your homie. Then you should make me your girl, your girl. If it's something that you need, then baby, come and share my world, share my world. If it's something that you want, come and take a walk with me, walk with me. So just call me whenever you're lonely. I'll be your friend, I could be your homie. You should make me your girl. You don't have to go. Don't wonder no more what I think about you. What I think about you, boy. I got what you need to come share my world.
song. She the baddest in the club. I'm lying cause I'm drunk. But I'm still young. And I'm just trying to get some.
Black balls blowing press. I'm not thirsty, I'm persistent. Chilling on the wrist is a brother. Doing the same shit that I won't remember. I don't mean it. I've been drinking. One hand on my dope cup. One hand on the thigh. Getting money, never stumbling. Needed more, that's why she broke friend. Spent a few blue hundreds, but I gotta watch my alcohol consumption.
Don't mean to be rude to this club. That drank all up in my cup. My kiss, my touch. Might say things like I'm in love. But I don't mean it, I'm drunk. I don't mean it, I'm drunk. I don't mean it, I'm drunk. I'm lying if I say I'm in love. In the sky, if it sparkles in the air and I'm with the guys, if you see me filling up my cup a couple times, then I'm faded, feeling x-rated. Don't believe a thing I say. If I tell you that I want you, won't remember anyway.
Like a dolphin, all this D on you, let me see you often. You know it's what you wear. Got bottles with the flare, throwing money everywhere. Now style, we up in here.
Don't mean to be rude in this club. That drank all up in my cup. My kiss, my touch. Might say things like I'm in love. But I don't need it, I'm drunk. I don't need it, I'm drunk. I don't need it. I'm lying if I say I'm in love.
Last call riding on a high. and I